to worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. Those who worship the Lord, worship in spirit and truth. Those who say that they know Him must walk as He walked. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. He is the way and the truth, and in Him ends the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light. If we say that we know Him, but we don't keep His word, then we walk in the darkness, and the truth's not in us. If we walk in fellowship sweet, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from sin. He is the way and the truth, and in Him is the life. If we obey His word, then we walk in the light.
Good morning, friends. It's Friday morning already. Hard to believe we've already hit the end of the week. And it's just flown right by. I can't believe that it's Friday already. And these weeks, they're just so packed. That's what's going on. So very packed that it just flies so fast. So this weekend over in Augusta today, tomorrow, and then down in southern Maine on Sunday, and then on next week down in Massachusetts, Saturday, Sunday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, next week. So just really, really busy time going on here. It's the end of the semester. In many ways, it's a big recruitment push. I just want to share with you something that is a praise and something you can pray with me concerning. When at the end of the school year of last spring, I think we had 27 students, and right now, if everything continues tracking the way that it's tracking, There's a potential. In fact, I'm driving for this now because the potential of 100 students this fall. So just be in prayer with me about that. But that means just a lot of work and recruiting and communicating and going lots of places. And so just ask you to pray with me about that. We need pastors in Maine. We need people trained for missionary work in other countries. And that is why I do what I do now at this point in my life, to work at training people, both through the institution of a Bible college and seminary, but then also what we do with Concentric. Concentric is a ministry of equipping, developing leaders who will develop other leaders, who will develop other leaders, who will develop other leaders, particularly leaders who follow Jesus, and particularly leaders who will do ministry in Jesus' way of doing ministry. So ask for your prayers in that front. The Lord has been gracious the last few days in so many ways. He's always gracious. Let me just put it that way. He's gracious, but when we see the evidence of his graciousness, it is absolutely incredible. Trying to figure out the schedule, I really need to try to get to South Sudan at some point, and trying to figure out when the best time for that to be is. And yesterday I was thinking August, but we're going to have these delightful little critters with us here called puppies this summer. I was kind of forgetting about that. We love puppies, but the other side of it is that is just another little aspect of one little part of a leg of support in some ways for us. So we're looking at puppies again this summer. So that factors into everything as well. But just the Lord's doing many great things, and we're glad, we're grateful, we're praising him. One of the things, a lesson that I want to share with you that factors in here, is the idea of soul care and taking care of the soul, taking care of the body. Right now, it's like there's not space, and I've got to free up the space and you do too. It's not just me; it's you as well. The Old Testament has. I'm preaching to myself now. Okay, and you guys get to listen in. The Old Testament, one of the laws is to remember the Shabbat, remember the Sabbath, to keep it holy, is the principle of rest, and that we need. And I call it a principle. The Old Testament called a law. It was Saturday, Friday night at like 6 o'clock till Saturday night at 6 o'clock. Sundown Friday to sundown Saturday, Shabbat, Sabbath, and the Lord had instructed his people that they should take Sabbath. Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man, and God made it a law in the Ten Commandments, actually, so that it would be good for our soul. It's a day of worship, a day of not doing, a day of unplugging, a day of rest. And, trying to work that in right now. And I'm being very honest with you. This is a confession that there's not margin for that at this juncture. And so I'm trying a little bit, trying to figure out where to squeeze some of that in, because you can't give out of emptiness. And sometimes when you give out of your soul, you need to pull back. And I'm saying the same things to you. It's not just me, it's you as well, to understand that, you need to be able to unplug a little bit. I'm preaching this morning. I'm not even on cue for what the discussion needs to be. It affects everything. I mean, it affects relationships. I'm committed, the next 2 weeks committed, and, to the primary job that I have. And, I can't break free from this particular job at this point. So, but figure out how in your own life to make that a reality. Sometimes it is, okay, I'm going to snag a 10-minute afternoon nap. If that's where you are, and if that will help your body and soul, snag a 10-minute afternoon nap somewhere. Some people can do that. I know some people can't do that. And, I'm one of those that can do it. I can lay down. I can put my head back for 10 minutes and take a nap, and it's just enough to give me the energy I need to finish out a day. I haven't had to take naps in quite a while. I mean, I just can get up and go. Problem is, when I sit down at night, usually it's, and the Lord has been gracious of late to give extra stamina to continue into the evening, and worked last night till about 10. And but I'm just saying this to you to be able to unplug and find those moments. It's a godly thing. In fact, you know, Don, we're going to have to change the title today, I guess, because I'm not going to go over to where I was going to go about the assurances of prayer. We'll come back to that Monday. We'll just have to go back and change the title, lessons for new believers about Sabbath and about soul care. I mean, I guess that's the lesson for today. And there's many factors to that. You know, I was talking to someone in the medical field yesterday, and we were just comparing. You know, some medical professionals are so zeroed in on their area of specialty, and if you ask them, well, could this affect that? No, that has nothing to do with it. I'm going to say to you as a person, I will lean into my research education background and tell you that, yes, it does. The body ties together all the systems of the body. It all, one thing affects the other. And if you have pain in your toe, it can affect your emotions. One of the things, just some research and discussion, how does things like higher cholesterol affect things like your joints and your muscle tissues and things of that nature? How does high blood sugar affect, you know, movement and those? It all does tie together. Now, I'm not going to point you to studies. I'm going to point you to myself. And the intelligence factor of the fact that it all ties together. So we need to learn to take care of ourselves. Rest is a part of that. Diet's a part of that. Some recreation is a part of that. God gave that to us. In fact, let me take us to a verse. I'm preaching to myself this morning here, I guess. Let me take us to a verse over in 1 Corinthians here. Let me pull this up. 1 Corinthians 6. The broader context of this is sexual immorality, but within that there is a principle that we can derive, and God says this in verses 19 and 20. He says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit?" Now, here we bring the Holy Spirit back into it again. The Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you've received from God, you are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. Now, again, the context of this particular verse is the context of sexual morality. But the principle that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that we need to take care of the body. This is just something that I sometimes as people, and particularly Christian people, we just kind of ignore, you know. And I'll tell you something I like. I like honey glaze crullers from Tim Hortons. I don't know if you have Tim Hortons in your area. I'll be glad as we move our college base of operations from Bangor to Augusta, because they don't have Tim Hortons over in Augusta. Up in Bangor, they do, and the Tim Hortons is literally like 2 football fields away from where the college is. Now, I'm not confessing that I have a deep struggle with crullers. I don't. It's not like I stop in and buy two or three and have them a couple times a day. And, you know, I might get one a week or something like that. It's not like it's a huge fetish, but it's something I don't need to be having. And there's just an example, you know, and some of us, Dunkin' Donuts can be that for us. I guess I could change up the camera here. Dunkin' Donuts could be that for us, stopping in. And you need to realize a lot of those Dunkin' Donuts coffees, unless you're getting just coffee, they are loaded with junk. And I like Dunkin'. Don't get me wrong. I like Dunkin'. When you start getting the fancified drinks, you're getting 300, 400, 500 calories sometimes, and you're getting lots of sugars and carbs and things like that. That, you know. So when you think about what it says here about your body, do you not know? Put the verse back up. I left it up too long. Do you not know that your body is temple, Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you see from God? You're not your own. Honor God with your body. That factors in. And it's tough. We don't like to hear it. This is not a popular conversation, especially for American Christians. It's just not. But it's true. So how much work should we do? I mean, there's this big to-do here in American culture and literature. Not literature, but American culture, I guess. About how many hours should people work? Well, the American way is work, you know, full time is 40 hours a week, but you know, that for some, that's just getting started. You need to work 50, 60, 70, 80 hours a week. Yet there are other countries that are saying, no, it's better if we work 32 hours a week. And, you know, there is study, there is research, there is conversation, there is definitely opinion about that. And some people, how can you only work 32 hours a week? Well, in those countries that do that, they're saying we want to take care of our people. We want our people to be healthy. We want our people to be happy. And so by providing them time for exercise and time for recreation and whatnot, our people are healthier and happier. And I can't remember off the top of my head which country it is. Sweden, maybe Finland. Somebody could research what countries have a 32-hour work week. And they will tell you from a parliamentarian view, governmental view, that they believe it's healthier for their people. Now, I'm not necessarily advocating that we need to go to that. In America, we'd say we'd fall apart. We wouldn't make it. We wouldn't have production. We wouldn't. But I can tell you this, there were studies, days in industry when, they used to have people work, 7 days a week, and people would be called in 7 days a week and have to work 7 days a week. And the studies took place, and what they ended up concluding in these studies is that when they work 6 days a week or 5 days a week, their production was just as robust as working 7 days a week, because their workers were refreshed. Their workers weren't tired, and they were able to, it was just good for them. They had the energy, the stamina. They didn't hate their work. They, you know, there was a balance to it. And that's something we have to think about. Again, I'm preaching a little bit to the choir here, somewhat. And, that we need to take care of self. And I'm encouraging you today, if you have the opportunity today to unplug, or tomorrow, for me, it's just not in the cards at all this weekend to unplug at all, that you would take the opportunity. Some of you are really good at it. In fact, probably most of you are better than me, at it. And, not putting too much on the plate, and I've been thinking about that a lot of late. What do you take on? Now, when we say, for those of you outside of America, we say on the plate, what we're talking about, putting too much on the plate is like putting too much food on your plate. some of you in your countries don't, you're happy just to get a little bit of food and grateful for a little bit of food sometime during the week. And I get that. Here in America, we have these things called a buffet. And the buffet is, you go up with a plate and you can choose from all kinds of different foods and you can go up as often as you want and eat as much as you want. And it's not healthy, but we have that here in America. And we'll put too much on our plate, or, you know, your eyes are bigger than your stomach. Now I'm getting into the analogy here is, Katie looked it up, Spain, Lithuania, Austria, Belgium, and Australia. And the people, I have friends from some of those places, they're pretty happy people. They seem pretty healthy, pretty happy, pretty balanced. Some of the friends that I know from those places, Katie, awesome. Gold star to Katie today for looking that up. Much appreciated. Thank you. But too much on our plate. We do the same thing with our time. Not only do we do it with our food, we do it with our time. I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can do that. I can do that. And all of a sudden we're stretched out and really not being very effective. And that's something I've wrestled with. It's been a stress point for me of late. She's still looking here. Denmark, Canada, France, Germany, Iceland also. And, she gets two gold stars today, two of them. There you go. I'm not trying to make this a political conversation at all here for America. I'm just speaking to us as Christians. It's something that we would want to teach to a young believer, the whole idea of some balance in their life. Now, I know some, I just want to burn up for Christ. Well, I get that. I've lived that, you know. I'm the type that will go to the closed countries at times, and people say you shouldn't go. I remember when I went to South Sudan the first time, which is a priority country for me at this point. Priscilla in particular, please, I wish you wouldn't go. It's dangerous, and yeah, it is dangerous, but I needed to go. It was the call of God. It took a year and a half of decision-making to get there. But finally got there, and, you know, why? Because run into it. Well, we do the same thing with our schedule, son. I could take that on, and all of a sudden we're not living in a healthy place. So we, to learn that balance, I don't know how did I even get into this today? I don't remember. But hopefully there's a lesson out of this one verse, in two verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We looked at the fact the Holy Spirit lives in the life of the believer, and so therefore we need to honor God with our body as well. And that has many ramifications, many applications, everything from food. In the context here is sex, rest, care, many of those things. And so we're encouraged here to take care of the body. There are some other passages that we'll talk about this, this reality about taking care of our body. It's like coffee. You know, this coffee has cardamom in it. Cardamom helps to helps with blood glucose leveling. That's something that and I didn't used to drink it that way, but trips to Arabic areas and having their coffee, and trips to the Middle East having their coffee, it's like, what is in that? It has such a great taste. And then you do a little research and find that it's good for helping to level out blood glucose. So I put a little cardamom. But some people drink a pot or two of coffee a day. It's probably not good. Soda, pop, Coca-Cola. You know, I'm not anti-coffee. I'm not anti-Coca-Cola or Moxie, as we have here in Maine. but we need to limit ourselves, in moderation. And there's the idea of all things in moderation. And Walter talking about the coffee, discovered it in Egypt. Yeah, Arabic area. And absolutely, a great, great coffee they have over there. But the moderation. Friends, I just want to encourage us. I mean, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Sometimes we are so busy that we're stressed and tense and short with people because we're too busy. And Jesus doesn't want us to be stressed and tense in that way. He doesn't want us to be short with people in that way. You know, I would rather that your life and my life would be a life that Jesus, the aroma of Jesus, the flavor of Jesus drips off of us, and that people go, "Is it something about your life?" Well, we're living in rhythm with God, and we're living with God, and we're living with the awareness of God and what God can do in us, for us, and through us. But we need to walk with Him. So, and it's tough. It's tough. Many of us in our 50s, 60s, I don't think 40s is too late, but you start getting to your 50s and 60s, it's pretty tough to change. And often, as I'm finding out, unfortunately, you get into that, 50, 60 range, and your body has kind of said, okay, we're going to settle into this, and you've done this, and so here's your aches and pains and your pills. And some of you that are older will relate with what I'm talking about there. But if you're younger, if you're in a place and you can begin to set some things in life for yourself now to be physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally healthy, put those things in place. That's not wrong. Some of us feel guilty for taking care of ourselves because it's ministry to do. If we don't take care of ourselves, we can't do the ministry. If I land in a hospital bed for a week again, like I did back 5 years ago, because of the cardiac electrical issues in my heart, I'm not helping anybody. So it's learning scale, learning pace, learning scope, all of those things that are healthy for us. I do want to stop and pray with you this morning. I want to pray for Santhus, our dear brother there. I wish we had. America is viewed as a rich country, and it is a rich country in comparison to many of your countries. I know that. But most of us that are on this broadcast are perhaps of a more limited means, and I do what I do through the support of other people. So. And I'm grateful for the support of partners that enable me to do what I do all over the state of Maine and New England, stretching in different places across the country and around the world by support. And I'm grateful for that. So I'm grateful for you. But we do want to pray for Santhus. We want to pray for Zara. Zara, let's try to speak just a little bit. If you're still listening, let's try to speak a little bit this morning. I don't have to go running out of the door as quickly this morning as I did the last few mornings because I'm here doing office work this morning, and I don't have other meetings away this morning, but I do have a lot of office work. Let's try to speak a little bit and see if we can't figure out some means of helping you. We want to pray for Zara. I mean, here's a woman in her country who is leading people to Christ. But I also would understand, and we need to understand, this is probably true, that the fact that she is a woman, this is not a chauvinist comment, this is a cultural comment, in her culture limits the participation of men. And if they had perhaps had, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, Zara, if there are men who would step into the role or could be in the role, it would really help in Zara's situation. So to pray for that man, just because of the way that culture and society is there. And so we want to pray for her as well. And remember South Sudan. That's a place where I have partnership directly. I've had to try to determine, Lord, I feel the weight of the world on my shoulders with so many different directions that we go, and knowing that I need to settle in and help help in the few areas where we're already locked in relationship. So, and just reading Santhu's prayer, children suffering with food, they need food, kitchen ingredients. I'm not able to feed them three times a day because my financial situation is also not good. Please pray for them. Pray for my family. So we will pray for our brothers and sisters, Santhu, Zara, Don, and his three unspoken prayer requests. Lord, we do just stop. We come before you. We pray on behalf of our brothers and sisters who have needs of daily sustenance, like food. Would you provide for them? Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters who need those who would teach and equip and disciple right there on the ground with them. Would you raise up those people? We pray, Lord, for Don's unspoken request that you would meet him in whatever those requests are. Lord, that is our prayer. And I want to pray for Santhus, that you would create a stream of income for him and his ministry. The same for Zara, the micro businesses, or whatever is needed. Lord, would you provide for our brothers and sisters, is our prayer this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, give care to yourself this weekend that you might glorify Christ. Have a great weekend. See you next week.